Hi, I'm Kezia. I'm a brain injury survivor and a member of Bind.
And hi, I'm Carrie, a stroke survivor and a member of Bind as well.
And today we're here with our great friend. And I do have something to say right before we introduce you guys. So at Brain Injury Network, we have a saying of like, once a member, always a member. And today we have a member who hasn't been here in some time. That's why we're super excited to have him here. But his name is Chris, and he is actually a stroke survivor. And obviously, like I just said, a good friend. He has decided after a couple of years being here as a member to do some volunteer work with Heritage Farm in Plano and just give back to the community. He has two pretty cool kids who are currently pursuing their doctoral in the medical field. They have, and I think that's pretty cool. So they have Abigail, who's currently doing her occupational therapy, and Alec, who's in medical school. So today, Chris is actually here for a special reason, which as after a stroke survivor, how is it going back to driving? So welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, Chris.
Welcome to Bind Waves, the official podcast of the Brain Injury Network of Dallas. I'm Brian White, Bind's Executive Director. On each episode, we'll be providing insight into the brain injury community. We'll be talking to members and professionals regarding their stories and the important role of Bind's Clubhouse. We work as a team to inspire hope, community, and a sense of purpose to survivors, caregivers, and the public. Thank you for tuning into Bind Waves. Let's get on with the show.
So, some of us, in other words, Carrie, knows a little bit more about you than I do, yes. And obviously our guests.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about you and also just your a minimum series about your stroke story?
I had an ischemic stroke. It started with unbeknownst to me, it started with a dental appointment, and then I developed a heart infection. And then after I had the stroke, they said, hey, when was the last time you went to the dentist? And I kept asking, why are you asking that? And they said, well, here's the deal. We did these scans. You've got endocarditis, and that's developing a heart infection, and you threw a clot to your brain. And they said the only way you get endocarditis is IV drug use or a dental, a dental intervention. And they said, we can tell you're not an IV drug user.
Good.
That's true. And then in retrospect, I noticed I had a TIA like 2 weeks earlier. I went to the doctor and they thought it was something else because I had vision problems. They said, well, maybe you're just coughing too much. And it turned out the coughing was due to the heart infection. So I was like, it was a big, there's very difficult to find, without doing a bunch of scans and things, and nothing really warranted that. So then, right after my stroke, I couldn't speak for about a year, and then exactly 9 years ago. I still have hemiparalysis on my right side. I've got like a line from my top of my head to my toes. And the feeling is either not there or it's muted. And then I didn't have any movement on my lower right arm, like my hand didn't work at all or anything. And then one day, maybe like 18 months later, I woke up and my hand worked, which was crazy because most of my brain injury friends, their recoveries are totally different, like everything. There's everybody's stroke's different. Everybody's, expectations are definitely different, with the exception of time, because it's always, much shorter than you want it to be. you're always thinking, oh, this has got to be, I want to get that fixed now. But that, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Then I'm trying to think, when I did my rehab, I did it now it's called, I don't know what it's called. It was Excel back then, and it was in Plano. And they mentioned mine to me. And they mentioned all these different people that I then once I joined, I got to know them. But it was funny when the caseworker there was explaining, they said, hey, you know, you might go see these people. And at that time, you know, as fresh out of my stroke, I thought, well, I'm not going to have time to do that because I'm going to be working, you know, like I'm going to be working, you know, the next day. You know, I thought that for probably a year and a half. I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, like, and even in the ICU, I thought, boy, this was like on a Friday when I had my stroke. And I thought, boy, you know, Monday, it's going to be really difficult because my arm doesn't work. I'm going to have to type with my, everything with my left hand. And, you know, I didn't even know that I couldn't speak because in my head I could speak. But my wife told me that I sounded like the chef on The Muppets. And I was like, oh. You know, because I knew when people looked at me, like, okay, something's weird here.
Right.
So that part was very strange, you know, because then I don't know how I came to come here, though, to Bind. Because I remember showing up the first day, I remember seeing, there's probably about, there were only like 8 people there, I think, or so. And most of them are still around. And it was really nice because everybody has the same background. They can relate to things. You know, you could, everybody's a little guarded, but they're not so much anymore. You know, like I think that helped quite a bit because I'm not that way. And I would ask questions like about, you know, their medications or how things are going. And I know people felt really weird answering those, but it really helped because then everyone started to discuss things. It's like, you know, this is how you can help each other, you know, and it was really, really good. But
and you think I was guarded?
Maybe not, but I mean, yeah.
No, I'm just teasing.
But it is funny though, because I always remember that. I just thought, well, because I remember specifically talking about like antidepressants, said, and you know, everybody was kind of afraid to even mention that they were on them. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, that's like, I was literally the only one not on them. Because I go, that's a standard, you know, prescription once you're, you know, once you've had an injury like that. And even I did get on them, then back off of them. But my doctor said that, he goes, I have like 50 people in your situation. They're either like terminally ill or they had brain injuries or they have, you know, tragic situations. They said, you're the only one that's not on them. And he said, and this really struck a chord with me. He said, they're not for you. They're for your family.
Yeah.
And I said, wow. When he said that, all right, I'll start. And it did work really well. But I've since weaned off of them. And other than the uncontrollable crying every now and then, I'm okay with that. But then he was getting back to this topic. My primary care physician, who was just phenomenal. I've had him for like almost 30 years, like a long time. Right out of medical school, I started going to him, and he told me, you know, after I had my stroke, he said, you know, I could take your license or hold it. He goes, but I just need. It's going to be difficult if I do take it, because you'll have to get an ID, you know, there's just administrative problems with that too. And he goes, and he doesn't know at that point if you're ever going to be able to drive again or not, but he knows it's difficult to retest and get one. And so he said that, you know, well, you can keep your license, just do not drive. And I said, okay, you know, I was honest, you know, I would definitely follow that advice because I didn't feel comfortable at all because I didn't have the feeling on my right side. Because even then I thought, man, I'm going to have to drive with my left foot. My car's not made to do that.
Yeah. I think that like everything that you're saying right now, it's really important because it's important to be able to relate to certain things, right? Like right now, a lot of the things that you were saying are things that I was thinking about, like, you know, my right arm too, like randomly decided to start working. And like, I still don't feel a certain part of my fingers, but I do about the other ones. It's very confusing. And also being able to relate to like what we're saying. And that's why we thought it was so important for you to come in here, because you are driving now and you shared so much about your story to tell us, like, you know, everything that like you had to go through and like how it, your thoughts, like even right after the stroke, like you're like, oh, wait. But now I can't do this.
Yeah. But it's also a little different to me because, like, when I go out places and talk, and I know I didn't want to drive right away, but one of the first questions new survivors ask is, well, when can I drive again? So that was going to be my question to you. When did you say, okay, I'm going to drive again? Like, how long did you wait? And I waited a couple hours because I had the left neglect, and I was scared I was going to hit the curb on the left side.
You know, that's interesting you'd ask that because, you know, it's so scary to not be able to drive and, you know, when elderly people get their licenses revoked or their parents, you know, or their kids, I mean, take their license away, it's such a lack of freedom and it's so difficult in this country, you know, to handle that because we just don't have the transportation. So that part was very difficult because I Ubered everywhere. It's really expensive to do that. You know, even to here, it's like blocks away from my house. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, to Uber this every time. Mm-hmm. And my hospital was really close. Same thing. I just, ugh. But, you know, I, right or wrong, I reasoned, you know, there's a lot of really bad drivers out there. So at my worst, I'm still not the worst driver. but I did, I waited, I would say, probably about a year and a half. And it was mainly, I wanted to be comfortable, you know, walking with a cane. I wanted to be comfortable. Like my right arm still didn't work very well, so I really shifting gears, you know, that wasn't very difficult. But using like a blinker, you know, or the turning the lights and stuff on the right side of your steering wheel is very difficult because I have to reach over. Starting the car, I couldn't do it with my right hand. I mean, it's interesting because there's so many things that are like, and now, you know, even I don't really drink much with my right hand because it just doesn't work that well. And so, like, driving, I can lift something from my cubby, but I just don't have the dexterity or the, you know, like, the balance. Like, I can't carry something with water on it, in it, or it'll be spilling everywhere. So then, like, the other one, like when Carrie mentioned the left neglect, I still find it a little difficult at times. I feel like I'm hugging the left side, even when I'm not, you know, and I really notice that because it's like it, when I'm moving, it feels like that cars are closer than they are. So I really try to concentrate more on, you know, looking ahead and your lane position. And if anything, I'm really more aware too, where I used to be more, you know, just second nature driving, you know, decision making stuff. Now I think about it ahead of time quite a bit. And with you know, and I've really never been in accidents until today. Someone hit me from
behind. Oh my God! Until today,
I was like, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but I was like, oh, but no, everybody stopped. So it's like, it was not a big deal at all. But, but it was funny that we were going to discuss this and I got hit. I was like, oh, wow.
But you got hit. You didn't hit somebody.
No, no. And it was, you know, I don't even think I'm going to get it fixed. So it was like so minor. But that's where, you know, we didn't really have the phone stuff. Like when that happened too. So it wasn't, you know, people weren't texting for sure. You know, it was like, I mean, you could, but just people weren't. It wasn't the same way.
You know? Yeah. I think it's great that right now that you listed some of your challenges that you, like, keeping up until now that you're facing. But, like, were you able to go through, like, rehabilitation for someone to identify those difficulties, like, or maybe some kind of program to drive again? Were you able to do that?
I looked into that, actually. I did call the DMV and Department of Transportation, and I asked them specifically. I said, you know, here's my situation. You know, I want to start driving again. You know, my license is valid. do I need to retest? And they told me, I called many times, and they said, yeah, you don't need to do that. And they do have, like, at Baylor in Dallas, they have a return-to-drive program. I looked at that, and it was like, that one was a little, it was really expensive, for one. And I was like, I just didn't feel like, you know, for what they did, I didn't really need that. You know, I was more worried more about, like, honestly, I felt more worried about braking. Yes. And accelerating, because I didn't have much, much feeling in my right side. So so that was the most difficult part, is just without that feel, you don't, you know, you stop more suddenly, you sure. accelerate a little more, you know. And so it's getting a feel for that rather than, you know, I guess if you had a stick shift, which obviously you couldn't do that in my situation, but you'd be used to even using your left foot more.
Right.
Because I didn't even do that. I didn't use it to brake or anything. I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a quick little break and remind our listeners to go ahead and click that like button, that share button. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit notify. So just keep on listening. But so I'm going to ask, so we're kind of different, because you said your right side was affected and mm-hmm. my left side was affected. So I did not need any car modifications. I can brake and accelerate with just my right foot. No issues there. But so you didn't have any car modifications? Because I know there are modifications that they can take away the right accelerator. And
yeah, we had another blind friend that had a pedal, and then another one had arm or hand throttle and brake. And no, I really didn't need any of that. I didn't even know that existed, really, until I saw that in people's cars. But yeah, you know, I wondered about that. Like, now I probably would have. I would have gotten the accelerator and the brake, you know, modified. Just because it took a while, really, to feel like, you know, I was afraid of, like, going through the garage door or, you know, jumping a curb, you know, things like that, because you just, the feel's not there. And then, you know, driving, like, I felt, you know, I still had endurance and stuff, and we'd drive to, like, Nebraska and Kansas, and it, you know, it'd be a 12-hour drive. I could still drive, like, 3-4 hours at a time. That part wasn't really a big issue. And also, you know, like, in the highway, you know, if you have space, it's fine. But, you know, we're in a middle of a very large city.
Yeah.
And the traffic, it's like, you know, there's no two-lane roads. Everything's a three-lane road. So that's tough. You know,
I stay in the middle lane till it's time to turn.
Yeah, the awareness thing is like, that was rough. Like,
yeah. And I think that, like, what you're saying, a lot of the things that you're saying is something that, like, I can relate with, because I don't drive, and I've had, like, my stroke was, like, what, almost 6 years? Well, I think it is 6 years ago now that I think about it. But my thing is, like, the independence here in Texas, it's necessary to drive, because there is no transportation around here that's very well. Like, I'm from Chicago. So, right. Like, my transportation in Chicago was, like, everywhere. And I didn't need to drive. So then after a stroke and I have to move over here, it was like, and really, I didn't know that I needed to pass certain things. So I had the stroke at 28. My license expired, like everyone's at 30. And then I didn't renew my license. And now I'm in the situation where, like, now I have to take an exam and I have to do all this. And I think most of my limits are my registry, my own mentality, right? Because I also had the limits of seizures. So I couldn't legally, after 3 months, I think, or 90 days, something like that, after a seizure.
Yes.
But then that...
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Or if you blacked out. If you're a brain injured and you blacked out.
Right.
That's different.
Yeah. And I just didn't know. Like, I'm like, okay, well, after I've had so many seizures, like, okay, I can drive now. But mentally, I was like, that's not right. Like, I feel like, what if it were to happen again? And, you know, but now it's been some time. Now it's been like I think now 2 years since I have a seizure. So like mentally, that's my limitation, right? And I think it's really great for you to be sharing your, like you want to drive, but you're like, wait, how am I going to do this on my left side? How am I going to, I think that's really good to do that. And also how cars are being modified. I didn't know that either. And it's really great to be hearing that other people are getting their cars modified to be able to continue with their individuality and like their independence. That's the word I wanted to use.
Well, that so much of that, like you were saying, is the confidence.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's tough because, you know, I even tell my family, you know, like when, because they have me drive all the time. I go, okay, if there's anyone to not drive, it should be me. You know, and, but they're always worried about me being the backseat driver. You know, I'm telling them what to do. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, you know, like I'm more worried about, like you said, you know, what if I see something different, or I'm not worried about a seizure. I've never had a seizure, but you know, just the cognitive issue.
Right. Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask was, did you have any pushback from your family when you decided to start driving? Were they concerned about, no, we don't want you to, or we don't think it's a good idea? And now they're like, oh, yeah, you drive all the time. You were know, they concerned
no,
in the beginning?
No, because I think my kids were like in high school. And so I think they would rather, like my son was driving on his own. My daughter could drive, but she'd rather have me drive, like to practice. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, like I'd really have you rather have you drive. But then, of course, then she couldn't text her friends while I'm driving. So I think that was their main reason. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because I had a fellow soccer parent that drove me to practice for like 2 years. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I felt so sorry I was so grateful for her. But then at the same time, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, like just out of the goodness of her heart, I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did that. Even to this point, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. I think I've, like I said, 6 years now, I've lived through both situations. My family was like, no, you're staying with me, which I understood too. Like I had a lot of seizures. Like, no, you're staying with me 24/7. I will drive you everywhere. But now, you know, now I've had 2 years where I don't have a seizure, and now I'm starting to have that mentality like, oh, I feel terrible asking.
Yes, you know? Like that is really interesting because, you know, even I felt that way in the ICU. Like they are treating, you know, they're doing stuff for me, and I've, you know, like, I just remember making my bed, and they were like, you don't have to make your bed. I'm thinking, I know, but I just feel guilty. You know, like that's amazing how people get in that mode.
Yeah. To help, but also it's our necessary to learn how to ask for help too, right? I think that's good.
Well, and it's different to, like you're saying, like Dallas is definitely not a city to walk in.
Oh, no.
You know, and I mean, there's really only maybe like four cities, not even that, there's probably three cities, you know, that you can walk in and live without a car.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, it's the U.S. isn't set up that way.
No.
It isn't, and it's something that we definitely have to work on, for sure. I really appreciate everything that you have shared so far about your experience. I was just wondering what kind of advice would you like to share with either brain injury survivors that are just, you know, out, or caregivers and loved ones to know about, like, this step about going back into driving?
You know, take your time. Take your time. Get advice. Like you were saying, you know, like, ask your kids, your parents, you know, your anybody that's available. Take, you know, have them take you out to a parking lot and try to drive before you, you know, even attempt the road. Because, and, you know, park, you know, do everything, because there's no way to know if things are going to work unless you try.
Yeah.
You know, and so if there's something for you that you need to work on, it's better to not try it until you've perfected it. So.
That's totally true. And Chris, we do really appreciate you being here. And I just want to let our listeners know that we're going to have a couple of series on returning to driving. We will have some professionals come and talk to us as well so that we can learn more about car modifications and programs that are available when you're getting ready to return to driving. Because I know there wasn't a lot available for me either. So we really appreciate you being vulnerable to come and share your story with us.
Anytime.
Cool. Anytime. We're going to take that for series. Yeah. Sure. Yes. But thank you so much, Chris, for being here. And I also just want to thank our listeners and all of you guys to be logging on every Thursday to listen to us and to hear us out and all the experiences. Make sure to just continue hanging out with us on Thursdays in your favorite platforms.
Again, and as always, don't forget to click like, share, and subscribe on all your favorite platforms so you don't miss out on an episode. So, until next time.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bind Waves and continue to support Bind and our nonprofit mission.
We support brain injury survivors as they reconnect into the life, the community, and their workplace.
And we couldn't do that without great listeners like you. We appreciate each and every one of you. Continue watching. Until next time.
Until next time.